What's up, everybody? This is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs podcast and the queen of the Hopecast Network, if I don't say so myself. I'm here to remind you that Movie Torture drops every Monday, the podcast where friends get together and watch bad movies but tell great stories, or in my case, fabulous and hysterical jokes. I'll see you Monday. Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
What's up? This is Reality Check with Heidi and Brad. My name is Brad and she is Heidi.
Heidi, hello, everyone. I'm so excited we're back to our old school format because we were doing the floor for quite a few months and it was so exciting. Now we're back with one of my friends. So I'll give it back to you, Brad.
We are back, and it's nice. We haven't recorded together, just you and I, in a long time. It seems like it's been a while. I'm not in my freezing rental garage anymore, so I can wear a t-shirt now, which is good. So I'm glad to be back. And we're back with a bang. We have someone cool on the show, Heidi, and I'm going to let you intro who we have, because
yes, really cool. He is a good friend of mine. We share the same first season of Survivor for him. His name is Bruce. Yeah, I wish we need like a little special effect of sound. So,
oh, Bruce, we have that. I'm going to do that right now. I'm just going to do it for Bruce because we've not done it for anybody else, but we're doing it for Bruce.
Yeah.
Wow, that is one of the best intros.
They're laughing. I don't know. It's weird. Anytime Bruce tells a joke during this show, from the rest of the show, we're going to go. Every time.
There'll be a lot of that. Some dad jokes and all that. I'll make it
roll out. No, we're excited to have you, Bruce. We are. We really are.
So, Bruce, it's been a while. I'm so excited to have you. I cannot wait to catch up. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I cannot complain. Very, very busy with work. Real estate is picking up and doing very well. I have insurance stuff that I do as well. So I'm staying very, very busy. The kids are back in college. So I know. I don't look like I have kids in college. Bullshit. Yeah, I do. But the kids are back in college. And, I'm getting ready to head down to Florida, going to Florida the end of February, beginning of March, and it's going to be awesome.
What state are you in, Bruce?
Rhode Island.
Oh, Rhode Island. Okay.
What's the weather like in Rhode Island? Because down south, it's like cold everywhere in the east of the USA. So how is the weather up there now in January?
It was 8 degrees this morning when I woke up. It's going to be 11 degrees tomorrow morning. Like I'm telling you, like the entire country is feeling some kind of way right now. Like it's
yeah,
bad.
I got you beat. I was -8 this morning.
I have both of you beat. Monday here in Minnesota, it was -20, and the wind chill was -33, and it was so cold they canceled school on Tuesday here. Like it was too cold to even put the kids out.
You can keep that. I don't want that at all.
It was miserable, Bruce. I just get out of my car and I walk into work and I get back in my car. That's the move. That's all I can do.
Yeah. Respect.
Well, so they canceled school for us. So Monday was a day off. No Tuesday school, no Wednesday school. So the kids didn't have school today either. So it's a zoo in my house. I need to go to normal tomorrow.
Let me ask you guys this. You both were on The Survivor. And could we do a Survivor in the winter? Like, we're doing tribes in the cold. I think that would be fascinating. We take it out of Fiji and we put it in Alaska in the cold, and you are bundled up and dressed and you're trying to survive. I think that would be fascinating. What do you guys think?
There is a show called Alone, and I watch that, and they do that up in Alaska. Like, and I remember watching, it was cold out, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like this winter storm came through, and they had like have their shelter all taken care of. And I think that that would be more treacherous than being hot in Fiji. Because if you're hot in Fiji, just go in the water, and you're fine. Like, you'll cool yourself right off. If you don't know how to make a fire, and you're sitting there, and like you're in this little hut, and you're trying not to, you know, asphyxiate yourself with the smoke, like, you're going to be hurting. I think the liability is too high.
But Bruce, would it not be must-watch TV if Jeff Probst says to the tribe that lost, "I got nothing for you, head on back," and you just, they can't even make a fire and they're just freezing? I feel like that would be fascinating. You would see so many fights.
They're gonna be like this. They're gonna have a finger missing from frostbite. Like,
they would claim
they could do it if we had like the right clothes, maybe like, you know, the rewards or better equipment to make better shelters. Because like in Alone, you would see they have a backpack full of like things that for them to survive, right? Like throughout. So I think they will have to just change the format. It will be a completely different kind of survivor. Or even Naked and Afraid did something like it also in the winter, in the snow. I can't remember the location. And they also had like things to cover themselves because it was so freezing with the snow, and they are.
That's in chat.
Bruce, would you do Naked and Afraid? Would you get on the Naked and Afraid?
Nope.
Yeah, I would either. Heidi would, though. Heidi would.
Yeah. Heidi, listen, I love you to death, Heidi, but we all know everybody that's on a reality TV show, they got something wrong with them upstairs.
True. That is legit.
I would do a whole bunch of stuff, but Naked and Afraid, I just can't, like, the only thing I can't deal with is I can't deal with, like, the massive amount of bug bites these people leave with. Like, they have so many bug bites on them, and, you know, because I'll kill the frogs, kill, you know, whatever, I gotta eat. Like, I'll take out what I gotta take out, but there's no way that I'm gonna be dealing with bugs all over me all night. Like, swarms. Not even, like, a couple. Every single season, there's usually swarms of bugs all over people. Uh-uh. Nope.
Yeah, those butt cheeks have lots of bug bites on them. It's like you're like, oh my gosh, man. Yeah, I don't want that. I'm with you, Bruce. I want to just watch it on television in my basement. That's what I want to do. And just enjoy it.
We've a few like Naked and Afraid people in our podcast, and it was great. They made it to the end. Like, we have a friend, her name was Sarah. She was in it twice and she finished both of them. Oh, spoiler alert. I guess I should have said that earlier. She made it, you know, to the end twice.
We should actually have Sarah come back on and talk about her second trip. We haven't followed up. But enough about Sarah. Let's get back to Bruce here. So, Bruce, how many times did you apply for Survivor?
One time.
Wait, you and Heidi both are one-timers? Oh, my gosh.
That's right, girl. Let's go.
Let's go.
We had something they were looking for. You know, we're at that age bracket. I think that they were looking for, we were established with families. They're definitely looking for that. Like, they needed that person to find. And you know, I've three times actually, three. And I don't think a lot of people know this. Three times I fit into that mold. First time was for season 41 that I was supposed to be on. And then they recast it because COVID. And then 44, I got on because I bumped my head because I'm a knucklehead. And then 45, here we are.
So did you have to apply multiple times, or you were already like in?
Already, it was a one time. So February 2019. Wow, oh my God, it's almost 6 years ago. I believe it was February 19th. Not to, you know, but I know the date. But that was when I submitted my tape, and I heard from them on August 17th.
Wow, that's early.
Yeah.
Wow. The one time blows my mind, though, because we've had Dan on here, and Dan, who is a Squid Game contestant,
and Trey from Squid Game,
but no, Dan, I don't know if Trey did, but Dan, Bruce, was on the Squid Game, and he was on the Beast Games.
Yeah.
And he said he's tried out for Survivor how many times? It's been like 100 times. I feel like it's been a lot.
I think it's because he's too normal.
He's too so the trick is to act weird?
No, because if you act, you're going to be found out. Like, they're going to see that you're acting. That's just how it is. When I say that, and all due respect to Dan, because he and I had a conversation about this a long time ago in Florida, where I first met him, I had something in my life that made me interesting, you know, that some trauma, if you will. And Heidi, I'm not sure, I didn't see what your tape looked like, but I don't know your background from, but you are, you know, Latina woman, children, you're where you are in your career is not something which most women are at. Like, you're interesting to them in that part of it. Dan, and again, love you, Dan. Hope you're watching. You know, he's straight laced. Like, he's got the kids, he's got the wife, he's got the house, he's got all that good stuff. But I don't know anything about any trauma or anything like that towards him that makes him interesting. But he unfortunately doesn't have that thing that they're looking for. Like, I don't know what exactly it is, but he's got that. He falls into that range of dad, you know, husband, blah, blah. Like, he'll fit that type cast that they're looking for, but it's just something about it that they're just overseeing him.
That'd be great. Yeah. So the trick is, you got to have a little bit of uniqueness that stands out against the other person. So then they're like, oh, I like this. I like Heidi. She, you know, she had this. Yeah. Her mom was a nun. That makes her interesting. So I like that.
Right?
Yeah. I have quite a few quirkiness about myself.
She hosts a podcast with Brett. That should be the way that gets, that's going to get you on Survivor 50, Heidi. Is you hosting this?
Oh, I'd love to see you on Survivor 50. I would love that.
Oh my gosh!
I was gonna say you gotta start practicing for Survivor 50, Bruce.
I don't want it.
Interesting. Don't say that. If they call you, you know you'll be there.
Bruce? I'm sorry. No, what was you gonna say?
If I ever get a chance to play Survivor again, now mind you, I played Survivor 1.1 times, and anybody else that wants to say anything different, I got words for you. I played 1.1 times. So now, my game that I played a pretty damn good game. But the edit showed one thing, and everybody and their mother, they think that they know everything because of the edit. Again, challenge to ask me questions about it, because I know the things that happened throughout the course of my time that I was there. Bonehead move? Yes, I got voted out with an idol. But you know what? Who doesn't? My very good friend, and yours too, Heidi, Franny, right? No, Franny didn't get voted out with one. Who was it? Franny and I actually, we eighth place, we voted out and won two individual immunities together. So that was like, that's my additional tie into her. But there would be a lot of people that voted out with idols in their pocket. It's okay, because my plan, if it would have worked, would have made sense. And it all made sense. And everybody goes back now and they're like, oh, well, the read before, I was saying that forever. Like, those four were running the damn game. When I woke up I woke up in the middle of the night, sat up, because I slept on the beach every single night, and I looked over, and there they were. The Reba 4 were sitting there having a conversation, and then when I saw them, they scattered like roaches. So, and when I go back and tell people that, and told them on the beach, they're like, oh, this Bruce is being, he's so overbearing. He's telling us what's going on. Like, yeah, I'm trying to work with people. I'm trying to figure out, like, what's going on. And, you know, I've heard one pundit talking about it on her podcast. I won't mention any podcast, but she was like, Bruce just doesn't know how to play the game of Survivor. He has no idea. I'm like, oh, hold on. Let me tell you something. I know how to play this game of Survivor. I had so many hot reads in regards to it, but nobody listened because some strange reason, everybody wanted to, like, you know, do their own thing. And then when I got Caleb out, and I ran that thing to get Caleb out. Caleb, love you. Hope you watch it too. That was done strategically because he was a huge threat, and in my mind, for me, so that helped me move on the game a little further. Anyway, I have so much more to talk about, but that's my stuff I want to get off my chest today.
Bruce, the person who said on the pod you didn't know how to play, have they played the game before?
No.
See, I can't say you don't know how to play it. I can watch it, but there's so much I don't see from my couch that goes on. I will say my biggest fear would be leaving with an idol. That'd be my biggest fear, because I feel like my wife would ride me like a horse when I got home for that.
Let me tell you something.
Heidi would ride me at that point. She'd be like, what are you doing?
She yelled at me so bad. She yelled at, like, literally, I had a house full of people. I had, like, 12 people. A couple of my friends I talked to afterwards, you know, we talked about it, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, I felt so bad for you. And I literally sat there. She just, blah, 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 just yelling. She was
That's what my wife would be doing. Do they let you keep the idol? Did you get to keep it?
No. What? No. My story about that is this. So I got voted out. And I walked down the little gangway and I went and I stood there and I was talking to a couple of the executive producers and, you know, bringing tears to my eyes, talking about, you know, what they were saying. And I sat down on the table and I, you know, had my little idol and I shook it like this and cute, isn't it? Yeah. And then they ushered me off into like a tent to kind of hold me to the side a little bit while they did their little production stuff. And then as soon as I got in that tent, there was a chair. And Heidi, you know how much sitting on a chair is amazing as opposed to a stump on the ground.
Yes.
I sat down and there was a table and I put my head down like this and I fell asleep. Instantly fell asleep. I actually sobbed a tad bit, then fell asleep. And then they came in, someone came in and said, hey, Bruce, we got to get your shot in the dark and we got to get your idol from you. And I'm like, okay. And I just gave it to him. Didn't even think about anything. Gave it to him. Put my head back down, fell asleep. And that's the story of where the idol ended up going to, which I'm so upset about. Like, I've tried so hard and reached out to a couple of people to get it remade, like just something so I can have it in my repertoire.
Wait, do they take it or did you just hand it to them? Like, would they have given it back to you?
Nah, they took it. They took it.
I actually didn't know until probably a year or longer after that they would actually ask for the shot in the dark, because I have mine. I mean, they never asked me for it, so I just took it. Like, I took everything I could in my bag, right? So I didn't know that people, like, you had to return the shot in the dark even. And I was like, really? What? Anyway. Bruce, do you have both torches?
Yeah. Want to see it?
You're probably the only player out there. Well, I don't know. Maybe the old school ones ended up buying their torches in the auction. Yeah. But you're probably the only one who has like two from the new era.
I have
from the new era. Yes, you're right. Because Rob has how many? And Sandra, they got it. They've been on there a ton, right?
Like they used to auction the torch. Oh. So unless you pay for your own torch, you know, you wouldn't get it. So
they would have went for a lot of money, and Sandra's would have gone for a lot of money as well, you know.
Exactly.
And as much as we do get paid to, you know, come out of this game, no matter where we fall, you know, I'm not going to spend $2,000 to buy a torch pack. I guess this is what it is.
Bruce, Heidi, if they auctioned off your torches, how much of a power move would it have been if Bruce came on and I was like, oh, I have your torch, Bruce. It's right here. And I just showed it to him. And he'd be like, oh my gosh. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to ship it to you. That'd be such a power move, man.
Well, I have to tell you, 2 years ago, I went to one of the premiere parties with Janet down in Florida. And one of the guys, Erica, was there. She's the winner from 41, maybe?
Erica was 30, no.
41?
I think 41 with Abraham.
Yeah, yep. I think it's 41. And someone there had her torch. So she was taking pictures with her torch because someone else brought it. So that was the first time she saw her torch after Fiji, which is quite interesting. So not far from it. Yeah, Brad, you happened. I was there.
You would think CBS makes a boatload on Survivor. They could give you the idol. And they could give you your torch. I mean, you are out there not eating. You're taking dumps in the holes and in the ocean. Least they could do is give you your torch and your idol. That's especially if you go home with one. I mean, that's insult to injury. Here, I want this back now.
But if you watch some of the older seasons of Survivor, some of the idols came back. So the idols they kept from older players in previous seasons, they brought those back. So, you know, they could argue they keep it and can bring it back at some point. I don't know, but who knows?
Do y'all got
adult title, you know, dum-dum.
Maybe 50. It'll come back for 50, but, and you'll see that on TV.
But they could reproduce that idol. You could have the OG one, or they could give you a fake one that you just carried off there so you could put it in your, like what Heidi has behind her, her Survivor showcase. I mean, you'd have that. But yeah. Do you guys think Survivor 50, when they launched 50, do you think it's going to go longer or shorter? Are they going to go back to the old school length or the shorter length?
It's going to be the same as the new era.
Yeah. You think so?
You meaning timing, like how long is it, like 90 minutes?
No, I mean like, because the new era is...
Yeah, no.
They won't extend the days.
They're not going to extend it.
Not in the 30s. It'll be in the 20s, just like the new era.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Because it's funny because they shortened everything down to, you know, the 26 days. They still gave the same amount of episodes, the same amount of information, same amount of challenges. Just that you, in the olden days, you used to have like a day off.
More days off.
Yeah. And Heidi, you can attest to this. I know that for 45, we literally, there was one day that we had a day off. We had nothing going on, but the paranoia was rampant.
Like, was it Sunday? It probably was a Sunday. Do you know if it was a Sunday?
I have no idea.
They probably all run together.
We had the whole Survivor calendar down, right? We're like, it's Sunday. We've heard Jeff doesn't work Sundays. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it was a Sunday, and that was our day off. And I would never forget, we're like, okay, around this day, this is when you go to a different island, and we got to take all our paint, our tarps, and everything. We were ready. So for Tribal Council, they made the comments like, oh my God, you guys are ready. You brought everything.
Yeah,
so that night, soon enough, they took us to another island, and we so knew that we were ready. Because if we didn't get ready, like, who knows what they would have gave us, right? Like, so we had two tarps, we had the pods, we had the paint. Like, we just brought everything we could.
I love that.
Bruce, what was your what was your first meal when you went to jury? Like, what? I mean, you had to be hungry. You're ready to eat, right?
Man, that first meal, so I was so disappointed.
Why?
Because I got a burger and I got a pizza with chicken on it. Like a barbecue.
And why were you disappointed?
Barbecue chicken pizza. I said it all back. I was disappointed in the burger. Like, I bit into the burger and it was so bad. It was so bad. Like, it was like chewing on a hockey puck. Like, I took one bite and I didn't even finish the bite. I couldn't swallow it. Like, oh my God. So then I ate the pizza. And I didn't eat all of it, obviously. My stomach was tiny and whatever. But that was the first meal from that. And then when I got home, the first meal that I got when I got home was Wendy's. So I had that.
Were you craving Wendy's?
What's that?
Were you craving it?
I was craving Wendy's because we talked about it a lot. And I truly enjoy, and this is a shout out to Kelly. I truly enjoy the spicy chicken nuggets. Spicy chicken nugs.
Bruce, let me ask you this about Wendy's, because we don't have a Wendy's near me. But I love Wendy's. I had it in North Carolina all the time. Mm-hmm. Why does Wendy's have two cash registers in Wendy's? But they always just use one, and the line is so slow. Like, you go into Wendy's, it's going to take a while for that, for the burger, for the what do they call them, the half pound or the quarter pound they got. It's the square burger. Is yours like that?
They fly. You're in and out.
Wow.
Man, Bruce, that's amazing. Rhode Island must know how to work it then.
Yeah, well, you were down south, though. Down south, things move a little bit slower.
Super slow. Like, if you went to Wendy's, you had to bank 30 minutes of, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to wait in line, I'm going to get my burger. And it takes a while. My wife would be like, I don't even want to go to Wendy's. Like, we would just exit out. We wouldn't even do it.
Bruce, you said something that I'm still thinking about it. So you slept at the beach every day, every night, by yourself or with people?
Yeah, I was on all three beaches. So the first beach was the Bella Beach. I'm trying to think, it was the Red Beach for you, for 44. And the first night that I was there, I slept. I laid down. I didn't sleep at all. maybe three quarters of the night I was on the bamboo and it was horrible. I moved down to like the dirt area right in front of the shelter. And then I went to the beach and I just laid in the beach and kind of fell asleep there, but then woke up in the sunrise, which was like probably 10 minutes later.
So did you have a fire at the beach as well?
No, nope.
Were you freezing? Like what?
No, I was living my best life out there. Shout out to the new school. I feel so bad for the old school because I had the pants that I was marooned in. I had a long pair of socks. I had that long sleeve shirt and I also had a fleece. So the fleece was just like, you know, a part of my
lucky you. Outfit.
So yeah. So I put all that on. I put my buff over my face, tied it at the top, pull over my face, tuck it in my shirt, and then I tucked my arms inside of my fleece. And that was it. Like I didn't have to worry about bug bites or nothing. I was never exposed, you know, to what was going on. And then being on the beach is so easy. Like you just kind of nestle yourself in and then there you go. You got your own little, you know, the therapeutic bed, if you will. It just holds on to you and you don't move. You don't go anywhere. You fall asleep.
So that's interesting to me because I always was very conscious to be where the crew was. Like if everyone was sleeping in the toilet, I would have been sleeping in the toilet with everyone else because I wanted to hear and see what was happening. I would have never been able to be at the beach by myself other than like maybe Danny and I will have our time to just go to the beach and enjoy and talk, but we would talk. And I still had someone there, right? So that's how Danny and I bonded so much. But for the most part, the majority of my survivor today's there, right? And I was all 26 days there. I wanted to sleep with everyone. So it's kind of interesting for me. I was paranoia 24/7 for me. I was on even at night.
When I was at the Bello Beach, the first one. So now if I really think about the sleeping arrangements, Bello, the first day I was on that bamboo and then I was like, ugh, this is horrible. I get off of it. And then we all went to bed at the shelter. And then I remember leaving the shelter. And going to where the post was when you first go up the stairs, the post where the tribe flag was. And I nestle into the sand there. Then before the sun came up, I made my way over to where everybody was before they started waking up. And I was there when everybody was waking up. But then we left there and then ended up going to the Lulu Beach, which was the old Tika Beach. So I remember getting the fire together and stuff like that. And at that time, I didn't sleep at the beach. I slept on the ground, but we brought sand up from the beach to kind of soften the ground a little bit. And then with that, I distinctly remember, like not yelling, but like saying to production, right above the fire. So you got the fire right here, directly above it. There was a bunch of coconuts. And they always keep telling us, yo, make sure you know where you're going. Because if you look up when these coconuts come crashing down on you, it's gonna be...
Oh my gosh, a coconut to the head?
Right, so if you're sleeping, you're laying down, and the coconut can land on your head, and you don't even, like, arm, neck, whatever. Like, so, anyway, they got that taken care of. And it's so funny, because everybody's like, you know, you go back, and Bruce is so this, Bruce is so that. But, listen, I was doing stuff to make sure that we were okay. I want to make sure that we're good. Why is Bruce talking to production about the coconut? All right, so when it lands on you, and then production wasn't paying attention to anything Bruce was saying, they left it alone. Like, then what? Then we're in a shitty situation because you got to end up getting yourself hurt. And I wanted to make sure. And most of all, I didn't want to go out by something falling out of a tree and hurting me because I already hurt myself prior to. So, anyway, that's a long rambling for me to just kind of get an idea and remember where I was sleeping. So when we made it to the Tika Beach, the Lulu Beach. I slept around the fire right there. That only lasted a couple of days. And then when we finally got to the Riva Beach and we all had merged, there was a spot, I called it my condo. So right when you're at where the shelter was, you go down a flight of stairs and you walk out into the beach, kind of a little bit of a long walkway. There was a spot right there to the left, I called it my condo. And it was all sand right there. It was so nice, but it just kind of dipped down. It was like right to the side of the steps, and I nestled into that, and that's where I slept every night. It was close enough to hear what was going on up at the shelter, but I was also in a comfortable position for myself.
Very interesting.
I could not have heard that though. See, I'm like Heidi. I'd want to be in the thick of it because I don't know if they're trying to like axe me and get rid of me behind my back. I want to know it's coming.
Everybody is. You're always trying to ask somebody. That's how it works.
Yeah. They are. They're always trying to ask somebody, but I don't want it to be me if I'm on there. I want to be the guy that they're like, let's keep this guy around, at least as a meat shield. Let's keep him around.
It's quite interesting also to watch some of the other shows and some of the people we've met from so many other shows. We talked about how so many of them have tried to be in Survivor. I cannot tell you how many people have told us, oh, that's one of my favorite shows. I've tried. I never made it. And but what I was going with it is some of these shows, the Survivor people are the most cutthroat. They're most strategic. So it just, for me, we know so many Survivor people now. But when I see the other shows, they're like, yeah, come on. It's a game. Like the Traitors or like.
Deal or No Deal Island. Yes. Right now. They're like, they are so tearing up poverty because they're like, yo, hey, this girl was on Survivor. She's cutthroat. And there's like, yo, keep her in conflict. And then they're still falling for her stuff. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Like, you're talking about poverty. And she's on the new one, right?
She's on the new one, yeah.
Yeah. I'm mad, Heidi, what you're bringing up, because I'm rooting for the Survivor. I'm rooting for the Survivor people on the Traitors. But yeah, you're right. It's like they're not loyal, man. It just makes me mad. I don't like it.
Don't spoil it for
me. I'm not gonna spoil it, but I don't like it. How many episodes are you in, Bruce? How many episodes are you in?
I'm only in three.
Okay.
But you know that there's only four, so we can, yeah.
Okay.
Right. So this the first episode, I was like, they're not bringing Boston Rob back to just send him away. You knew that, right? There's no way that he's,
Jeremy Collins is, he came to Providence, to Rhode Island, capital city. He had a watch party. I got to see him and the other gentleman from Daniel. They were both there, but I was able to sit there and I'm watching, and they bring the, you know, the person out, la la la, and I know nothing. I literally yelled out, "That's in Boston Rob. It's gotta be." And sure enough, whoop, off it goes, Boston Rob. I'm like, I didn't watch any trailers. I watched nothing. I just wanted to go into it fresh. And I saw that, and I was like, all right, yeah. So like you're saying, they brought him in. Not, they didn't just bring him in just to bring him and say, hey, you're here for a day. They brought him in to be in the game.
Bruce, Heidi has heard me talk. I mean, she knows Boston Rob is one of my all-time favorites to ever play the game. I rank her top because she's my friend and I know her. But, like, then there's Boston Rob. But Tony and Jeremy are, like, two of my favorites, too, because I loved watching their season. Tony is great. He is more fun to watch than Rob, honestly. Like, he is more fun to watch. And so you can understand my excitement for this season of Traitors. I've got three of my faves playing together. And yeah, I'm just frustrated. Sorry.
Tony's got that vibe, though. He's got that thing that, you know, just talk to you straight, make you kind of think about what you want to say, but then he says what you're thinking, and it's like, all right, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You're so right.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of that vibe, that kind of thing that he has. And it's like, but then you're enthralled at, like, how did he just said a word? I don't understand the word is that he just said, but okay, I got you.
He's also a snake.
Yeah, it's true. A snake. In a good way.
I mean, he's good. He's won it twice, right? Has he won it twice or once?
Tony, twice.
Twice. He's a two-timer.
Just he won $1 million one time, and won $2 million for winners at war. So he's a $3 million man.
Oh my gosh, he's amazing on them. Yeah.
Well, maybe without spoiling too much, and I'll talk about who the Traitors are, though. So spoiler alert for anybody who wants to not hear who the Traitors are if you haven't watched anything. But when I saw that our friend Carolyn was the Traitor, and I saw like all the other Survivor players there, I'm like, she has to keep them maybe for a little bit, but she has to kick them out. You know how it is, right? Like, she definitely has to kick those guys out. So it's kind of fun to watch it, seeing the person from the new era who we know being the Traitor, right? So I kind of like it. I kind of love it. I hope she makes it very far. That's all I'm going to say.
I feel like they push her around, though. I feel like she gets a little pushed around.
Yeah.
She needs to get her voice.
Yeah, because she's quirky like that. So it's like she does need a bit more agency. I cannot agree more, but that's going to help her. Like, her position right now, it's like, it's going to help her.
Yeah, nobody sniffs that she's a traitor, right?
It's like, many people have said it from the other traitors. Nobody has said, oh, maybe Carolyn. Like, I don't know if anybody has said it, right? So.
And also, Bruce, my favorite all-time Big Brother player is Derek. And so he's on here, too. So this show is just packed with faves for me. And, you know, It's frustrating just to say I want to see tomorrow night's episode. We got to figure out some things. But Bruce, there's a lot of cool people on this show. I want to see you and Heidi on Traitors. If you were on Traitors, Bruce, would you want to be a traitor?
My Wi-Fi is going nuts right now.
I was saying, would you want to be a traitor or a faithful?
Would I be a traitor or a faithful?
Yeah, which would you want to be?
Oh, I would all day. I would want to be a traitor. I'd want to be a traitor because I know that I would love to be able to sit there and just pin things on other people. I would love to do that. It just sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
But in the first episode, you see Tony begging to be a traitor.
Yeah.
And I feel like, to his detriment, if they made him a traitor, he would have been gone. They would have said, Tony's a traitor. Don't you think? I mean, you all assumed he was a traitor.
I think it was a little obvious. So I'm like, he would never be the traitor. Make Carolyn the traitor. And when they did, I was so freaking excited.
You know, Bruce, this is who I want to see on Traitors. Did you get a chance to watch Temp Crazy?
No.
Did he hear me? Okay. Well, it's a great documentary on HBO.
What's her name? Do you remember?
Tanya Haddix.
Tanya
Haddix. She is our official chimp correspondent of our network. She gives us the monkey minute when we're on a show. I think we lost Bruce. Heidi, I'll continue talking to you.
Yeah.
So, what I want, Heidi, and I asked her if she would go on Traitors. She said yes. Her and Alan Cumming do not like each other.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Why?
I want to see her show up and Alan to be like.
He would never allow that to happen. He has that. Maybe not as much as Jeff Probst, but I'm sure he has a say. And he would be like, no way, Jose. Yeah.
Could we see a Traitors, Heidi, of all reality show hosts? Now, that would be a fun Traitors. You got Jeff Probst, Phil.
Bring Joe there.
Yeah, Joe. You got Julie Chen. Yeah. You have Phil from Amazing Race. Hosts?
That would be a really cool idea. I actually really love that.
Yeah, because they all know the, and you put Alan in the game.
And who will be the host of that? Maybe a player.
My other favorite host, the Australian guy from Traitors Australia. Bruce, we're talking about a Traitors with all reality show hosts. So you got Jeff Probst in the castle, Phil from Amazing Race, Julie Chen, Moonves, and you put Alan in the game. That's what I want to see.
I'm all about that. That would be great to see. I want to see what they learned from all the other people that they've been, you know, harassing over the years. I want to see them do it.
Yeah. Yes. I want to see Jeff Probst play Survivor. But what I was saying is, I want to see Tanya Haddix on Traitors, Bruce. I want to see Tanya Haddix because her and Alan Cumming do not like each other.
So she was in Chipmunkies. What is it called again?
Chimp Crazy. She's the Monkey Minute on our network. She's a part of the network. But she's in Chimp Crazy, and she wants to keep the monkey. Alan was in a movie with the monkey Tonka, and he's big with PETA, gets the monkey removed. Her and Alan hate each other. Like, she cusses him out. And I ask her, really? Would you go on Traitors? She's like, I would love to go on Traitors. and give that Alan a piece of my, you know, and I want to see Alan's face when she shows up. That would be gold.
It would never happen, Bruce.
It would never happen. I'm living in fantasy world right now, Bruce. Sorry. Yeah.
Hey, Bruce.
Wishful thinking is always a good thing.
Yeah, I suppose. So, Bruce,
what are your thoughts on Carolyn, on Traitors so far from what you've watched already?
From what I've watched, Carolyn is doing what Carolyn does best. And the thing is that if you ever have a conversation with Carolyn and she's talking to you like, and then kind of doing her normal personality, but then she will stop and just be like, what? And she'll have that straight dialogue, no kind of looking around this side and the other. She did that. She did that during the Traitors so far. She's like, I want them to underestimate me. And that's what people don't pick up on, is it? Because she's so quirky and everybody just kind of focuses on the quirkiness, but then she'll just be like, I wonder why they think, I wonder if they're falling for what I'm trying to do. You know, she'll keep her personality, but when she gets in her think mode, she's straight up is just like 110% in it. So I think that they're underestimating her and she's going to do big things.
I hope so too.
She definitely is quirky. I'll give you that. She's the most quirkiest contestant they have on the show.
Yeah.
And she's likable, which is good. So there's some of them that are not likable, and I'm just like, I don't care. You know, I don't care if that person wins or not. I'd like for her to win. I told my wife, I was like, she needs to win. That's Heidi's friend. That's what I said.
She was on 44.
She is on 44, so we need her to win. But she's going to have to take out some heavy hitters to get there.
Yeah.
And so there is that. Bruce, what do you have going on now that you'd like for us to know about?
I'm sitting here looking at certain things that are going on and with reality television. And I know The Survivor is the ultimate reality television show. Like they don't coax you into anything. They don't feed you, none of that stuff. It's all 110%. But I'm looking at a couple of other reality shows that are out there, and I'm like, okay, do I reach out and just say hello and kind of throw my hat in the ring, whatever, just to see. Because there are a couple that are out there that I would not mind doing at all. Like The Traitors, I'd love to do The Traitors. That would be a lot of fun. You know, would I ever be cast for that? Who knows? It's all in the stars and what they're looking for. But would I love to, you know, be on Survivor 52? That would be great. There's too much hype around 50 right now. Give it to other people that can deserve it a little bit more than I do. But as far as anything else, I'm very, very focused on my work and you know, the things that some people can't do once they get back from Survivor. They can't separate the fact that, oh my God, like reality TV is my life. Like, I don't understand that. But I'm focusing on a lot of my work stuff to be able to bring myself, you know, to the level that I want to be at. I'm hating the idea that winter is here and it's as cold as it is. I say it all the time. I want to get out on the boat. I want to be boating and just, you know, relaxing in the ocean. But I got travel coming up and I would love to go to Puerto Rico and just, you know, see Jam Jam. He and I chatted a little while back, but we talked, you know, as frequently as possible. But, you know, I'd like to throw my hat in a couple of things, just kind of see what the feedback is and see what people, you know, I don't care what, like, you know, anybody sitting on the couch is going to say, oh, he can't play that. He can't do it. I don't give a damn about that. It's the people who run the show and, you know, would fall into their realm.
Would you do the challenge? Would you do the challenge?
Yeah, I do the challenge.
I figured that might be one that's on your mind.
At 48 years old, I would do the challenge. The only thing I don't understand, I don't like about the challenge is I don't like, I love the argument. Love it. Oh, so awesome. And I'll sit back and I'll poke and prod. Like, I love that stuff. It's just so much fun to me. It's tough to do on Survivor, though. Because, like, on Survivor, you have to, like, make friends and try not to get on everybody's bad side. And so you can't really do and say what you want to say. Like, I slipped up and said things every now and again. And people were like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. Heidi, you know as well as I do, half of the shit that I said out there, excuse my language, you would have been like, whatever. there were so many times I'd say something and I'd get a face like, oh, I forgot who I'm playing with. Oh, God, that's going to show up on an edit. Oh, God, I got to apologize for that. Like, when it's just normal banter. Like, I remember Jake and I would have so much fun just talking shit to each other because he's from New England. He's from Boston. Like, we love beating each other up. Like, it was so, so much fun. But, like, something like the challenge, the caddy stuff I can't deal with. Like, I'll be like, shut up. But the challenges and the bad stuff, like, that's what fuels me. So find me something I can do. I can, you know, challenge. I'll do that every day.
What about Big Brother? Would you do Big Brother?
No. Nope. I wouldn't do Big Brother. Respect the people that play Big Brother, but I won't do it. I can't see myself stuck in a house for, was it 100 days? And then,
yeah. Oh, it's long now. It's so long. It's at least 3.5 months, right, Heidi?
Yeah. It's long. It's a lot. I would still do it though.
Oh my gosh.
No.
But I do mental health. If I thought mental health on reality TV is difficult, the Big Brother takes it to the next level. I would agree. Like, not being outside, we had the ability to go to the beach, to walk away, right? Like, in Big Brother, you're stuck. You walk into another room. So, yeah.
And they pay them less, Bruce. You make less when you win that show than you do Survivor or Amazing Race. I'm pretty sure Amazing Race makes more. Isn't Amazing Race $1 million?
Amazing Race is really not. If you gotta check the breakdowns.
They have to split it because there's
two. Oh, they do, don't they? Yeah, they gotta split it. Yeah. But if you're married, you're not splitting it.
True. Unless you leave. Like, with Survivor, we got paid pretty good money. Like, as far as we make it, like, you get paid pretty good. Amazing Race, because they're spending so much money on you flying all over the place. Like, I've talked to a couple of people and I got an idea and like what they get paid, and it's like, you only got what? Like, you, like, I want to, you know, win as much money as I possibly can. Like, that's why they call this show. Like, that's why they call it a game. Like, yeah, I want to be able to do that. Like, I'm running all over the place and on the Amazing Race, which, not for nothing, I would play the Amazing Race. I'd play to win because I'm not, like, I can't sit there and be like, you're going to pay me, you know, going to come in third place and you only get like 25 grand. Like, what? What?
No. But Bruce, I have to break it to you. A lot of these other shows, they get paid a per diem, right? So
we learned that on the floor.
Yeah, like the floor. Now they have a lot of contestants on the floor. But or Squid Games, they also didn't get paid much at all, right? Like, there's a ton of these games. They get nothing. So, yeah. I mean, props for CBX and a lot of the other shows that they do pay their contestants for however long they are on the show. So.
Yeah. Bruce and Heidi, have y'all watched Beast Games?
Yes.
Okay.
I did for 2 weeks.
Oh, you gave up after 2 weeks. Okay, did you catch the part where the four or five people could have chosen $1 million?
Yes.
They could have chosen $1 million. Did you see that, Bruce?
When they were on top of the tower?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. They could have chosen $1 million and none of them did it. I gotta say, I would have took the meal. I would have took the meal. I'd be like, you know what? I'm taking the meal, because I'm pretty sure most of those people left with nothing after that. They all got eliminated later. Yeah. There's only like one.
There's only one winner and the island winner, so the chances are very low for them to end up with the big money, right?
Yeah. So you got a chance to win $1 million, and yeah, those people will hate you because you sent them home, but you walk away with $1 million, and you never see them again.
You ain't never seen those people again. Like, $1 million on that? Y'all, boom, I'm hitting the button.
Boom.
Appreciate you.
Like, Heidi's sticking the mill, man.
Yeah. Oh, in a heartbeat. I would have taken the 300 grand or whatever they had earlier. So I probably would have not made it to day two because I would have taken a lot of the big bucks they were giving out early.
If Heidi, you and Bruce were, all three of us were in the tribe there, and they put you or Bruce up there, I would be mad at both of you if you didn't choose the million, because I'm like, when are you ever going to get a shot at that again? Like, listen, in this show.
I didn't eat for 26 days and I didn't get the million. I got way less than that. I would have taken the million in a heartbeat at that situation.
Oh yeah. It would have been like, give me that meal.
Bruce, so you mentioned a lot of the things you're doing now. What about your podcast? Tell us a little bit more about the podcast. Oh, yeah. you get involved in that. Tell us, give us a little plug about your podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. It's called Survivor Now. It's a great podcast. Randy runs a pretty tight ship. We have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of content that we send out throughout the course of the week when it comes to the U.S. Survivor. But then we're also doing Australian Survivor. So Australian Survivor is where we make, like, we get a lot of people that watch our content for Australian Survivor, and a lot more than U.S. because U.S. is, I want to say it's saturated, but, you know, U.S. has, you know, Rob, and, you know, they got a couple other, you know, pretty big platforms that are out there. But with Survivor Now, we actually have the ability to be on the exit press. So you got to be doing something right to get, you know, to get on the list for the exit press, to be able to talk to the people after they get voted out of the game, you know, the day after, and have those conversations. So, but I joined this year. I was a guest last year. Abraham asked me to come on last year as a guest. To be a guest. And I had so, so much fun. And they put out kind of a feeler, you know, looking for people to be able to do the podcast. And I literally sent them a message right away. I'm like, I'm going to be on the show. You don't have to ask for anybody else to be on it. Just close that shit down. And they're like, yep, not a problem. Boom. And here we are. So I do the after show podcast, which is so much fun because it's so raw. It's like, you know, myself and Abraham, we, and you as well, Heidi, we can see through a little bit of what's going on. Like, everybody should know that it's an edited show, and that they should know that a lot of content from 3 days is smashed into one. Smashed into an hour and a half. But we literally sit there, and Abraham and I give our 2 cents in regards to certain moves. And whenever I talk about this podcast, I'm like so excited about it, because we're giving knowledge to people that might want to play the game or whatever have you, without having to sit there and tell you this is exactly what's going on. We're just talking about what's going on, and when we do that, people should be able to pick up the breadcrumbs as to what would help them do very well in the game. So like I said, I do that. We're going to be doing Survive Australia, which is going to be so much fun. I got people following me from that now, and they're just like, oh my god, this is great. It's like international stuff. I got people from Australia following me, South America's South Africa. It's a fan thing. Like, it makes like, I'm a fan of theirs, and they write back to me, they're a fan of mine. I'm like, how are you a fan of mine when I'm a fan of yours? It doesn't make any sense. But it's just so much fun to deal with these people and talk to them and get excited.
I love that. Yeah. That sounds like so much fun.
Survivor Now podcast. We have our merch, get all that other stuff, but we literally we're about to blow up. It's gonna be great.
Congrats. That's awesome.
Yes. I'm looking at it right now. So yeah, I'll be following you. I'm excited. I love Survivor, and I love Australian too. Heidi knows I like the Australian games. So
It's a little bit more rugged. I love it.
Yeah. What's the girl's name we met, Heidi, that played in Australia? In Chicago? Well, that's not very interesting podcast right here. But
sorry, I'm trying to think of who it was, but
you remember off air. I'll delete this.
So Bruce, where can people follow you, so people listening can just follow you?
You know, this has always been I'm going to grab my phone. This has always been one of the worst things that I've ever done in my entire life, is that I literally, people are like, what are your handles? Where can we at you? And I'm just like, huh?
That shows your age, Bruce.
And it's a beautiful thing, but I'm like, oh my god, I have all this stuff. I didn't even put my glasses on. I put my glasses on, I'm going to look old as hell. But on Instagram, it's Bruce.Peralt. So Bruce, and then my last name. Just, you know what? Hell with the phone. Just Google my name.
And we will, and listeners will have it in the show notes. We want you to definitely click on his links in the show notes, so you can follow Bruce. Bruce, you're a friend of our show. And Heidi, we should have Bruce come on when a Survivor season's kicked off, and we can talk about what's happening in that season one episode.
Yeah, one time for sure. And Bruce will be very busy with his podcast, but we can do like a quick one, right?
We can.
On a day that he's not recording for his podcast.
Yes, he probably got a lot going on.
I would love that. That would be a ton of fun. I love this game. So as much as I can talk about it and I can, you know, relive my part of my experience with someone's going on at that moment on their own. And I reach out to, once a show airs and stuff like that, I reach out to these people and I talk to them, and I literally, like, there are so many times I have conversations with people and they're just like, I was not expecting half of this stuff. And yeah, if you're not talking them off the ledge, like, you're excited and you're hearing their excitement and their voice about their experience, which is great. So, but I just love this community. The community is great. You know, you have the haters that are out there, the idiots, and, you know, I love telling them where to go. But you have the people that are enthusiastic and they love the show. They take it for what it is, which is a reality television show. And we're just there to entertain people and have a good time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, Bruce, I hope we can do like a mini reunion of 44. You mentioned Puerto Rico and a couple of things. So I've talked to a few of the people from 44. We're like, we got to get together. We got to just make it happen. So if you do something,
if you tell me, I'm telling you, I will book a ticket and I will get out there and I'll make it happen. Like I miss my 44 people. I miss my, you know, my 45s. 44's got that great special place in my heart. And real quick, I know we're running short on time. The reason why I have so much love for season 44 is that, and I'll never forget. I get hurt. I leave the game. I'm in concussion protocol for a few days. I go down, finally get out of protocol. I still got to wear my glasses because my head still hurts a little bit. I go down, first person I see, obviously, is Maddie. And great conversations. And then when I saw her, she's the first person voted out. And she asked me, how is my head? How am I doing? And then every other person after that asked me, they're coming into Ponderosa, Bruce, oh my God, good to see you. How are you? How's your head? I'm like, what? How are you? You just got voted out of the game that you love. Like, that's why there's that spot that's held there for them. So yeah, 44's got that great spot in my life.
No.
Special crew. I miss you, Bruce. I mean, I'm just a text away, so we got to catch up even more. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Bruce. We appreciate it. You're always welcome to come back, and we'll be following your podcast. Thank you so much, man.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bye.
Bye.